If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
During a conservative conference in Florida last week, former Vice President Mike Pence was booed and called a, quote, traitor. And it takes an awful lot to make me feel bad for Mike Pence because that didn't.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to comedian Jacqueline Novak. But first, a closer look.
Former Vice President Mike Pence was heckled and called a traitor at a conservative conference last week by a group of Antifa socialists. Wait, sorry, I read that wrong. By his own party. Meanwhile, the GOP's sham election audit in Arizona has taken yet another bizarre turn, with copies of voting data being driven to a mysterious location in Montana. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. We're 5 months into Joe Biden's presidency, and yet Republicans are still obsessed with trying to overturn the results of the 2020 election and rewrite the history of what happened during the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. This weekend, for example, Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson and Fox host Maria Bartiromo once again repeated the lie that none of the insurrectionists were armed.
Armed insurrection is what Nancy Pelosi keeps calling January 6th, Senator. How many guns were actually taken up on that day since she says it was armed?
Well, by the way, they always talk about thousands of armed insurrectionists. I asked the FBI witness, not one gun was recovered either in the Capitol or on the Capitol grounds, according to that FBI witness. So that's just one of the latest big lies.
Then, as we all know, guns are the only types of weapons. That's why you're allowed to get on an airplane with nunchucks and giant medieval battle axes. And yet every time I go through security with my nunchucks and battle axe, security is always like, excuse me, sir, you can't take that with you. And then I have to remind them that under Article 47 of the U.S. Constitution, Part 9, Subsection 23B, nunchucks and battle axes are allowed on airplanes. And they say, no, I meant the shampoo. That's clearly a 4-ounce bottle. And then to ease the tension, I say something like, hey, you can't have this battle axe, but you can have this one over there. And then I gesture to my wife, and we all have a good laugh. Well, not all of us. Someone takes it very personally, and then it's a thing the whole vacation. Also, more importantly, none of that is true. Last week, prosecutors charged a fourth Capitol riot defendant with a firearms violation. And aside from guns, according to CNN, some of the weapons that were confiscated had been seen being used inside the U.S. Capitol, including a baseball bat, a fire extinguisher, a wooden club, a spear, crutches, a flagpole, bear spray, mace, chemical irritants, stolen police shields, a wooden beam, a hockey stick, a stun gun, and knives. If a dude broke your window and busted into your house with a hockey stick at 3 a.m. and said, don't worry, I'm not armed, you wouldn't say like, oh, all right, well, you want to crack a beer and watch the highlights from the Islanders game? Did you see that save by Ryan Pulock? Hey, where are you going with my vase? And then, at the end of the interview, Bartiromo, one of the most unhinged conspiracy theorists on Fox, applauded herself for telling the truth.
We have been telling every story. We've been on the right side of it for 7 years going. I've been trashed every day along the way. Keep trashing me. I'll keep telling the truth.
That sounds like a catchphrase from the opening credits of The Real Housewives of Bay Ridge. Keep trashing me. I'll keep telling the truth. Andy! Andy, stop hitting your brother with the pool skimmer. Andy! put that down right now. I'm going to call your father. What's that? Oh, you run on because it's just a pool skimmer? No, he's getting cute with me. Andy Michael Piazza D'Angelo, put it down right now or I will end you. These people have been desperately cycling through one deranged conspiracy theory after another in an attempt to lie about what really happened on January 6th. Some tried to claim it was largely a peaceful protest, no worse than a normal tourist visit, while others suggested that it was actually the FBI and the deep state that secretly orchestrated the whole thing as a false flag operation. And then there were those who blamed so-called fake Trump supporters or Antifa, despite the pro-Trump rioters themselves going online and contradicting that lie.
The people who stormed the Capitol had to convince their own brethren on social media they weren't Antifa, like Ryan Nichols, a Marine veteran charged in the attack who wrote on Facebook, "Hey, listen up. I hear so many reports of Antifa was storming the Capitol building. Know that every single person who believes that narrative have been duped again."
You know what's bad? When even the insurrectionists are fact-checking Republicans, soon anti-vaxxers are going to start tweeting stuff like, "Listen up, vaccines are safe and effective. I just need attention, and I don't know how to get it legitimately." They can't even get the people they're lying about to go along with the lie. It would be like if O.J. got up in court and said, "Those gloves fit just fine. I was making my hands big on purpose." And then Judge Ito looks to camera and says, "Juice!" I feel like that's what you do. I was younger then. In reality, of course, the insurrection was an attempt to stop the lawful counting of electoral votes and overturn the results to keep Trump in power. In fact, a large faction of GOP officials and voters are still very much committed to the big lie that fueled the riot in the first place. A new poll out today finds that 32% of registered voters believe the lie that Joe Biden won the 2020 election because of voter fraud, including 57% of Republicans. And last week, former Vice President Mike Pence was heckled and called a traitor at the Conservative Faith and Freedom Coalition because he didn't single-handedly overturn the results of the election, which he didn't have the power to do anyway.
Pence is the one seen on surveillance video being rushed to safety by the Secret Service on January 6th. Remember, rioters could be heard chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." Trump had accused him of being disloyal for following the Constitution and refusing to overturn the election results. Well, today, Pence spoke to religious conservatives at the Faith and Freedom Coalition conference. And as he tried to speak, boos and cries of "traitor" rained down from the crowd.
It is great to be back with so many patriots. And I want to thank my friend Ralph Reed for those overly generous words. I'm deeply humbled by them. Ralph Reed knows me well enough to know the introduction I prefer is a little bit shorter. I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order.
Man, that's like getting booed thrown out a first pitch at a baseball game in your home state, which also happened to Mike Pence. Booing is one thing, but they're calling Pence a traitor, and he tries to just keep giving his speech and act like it's not happening. Pence could really use a Smithers right about now. They're not saying traitor, they're saying tra-yay-tor. Also, it's a gathering of religious conservatives called the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Pence should be able to walk into that place like Norm walking into Cheers. "Mike! What's shaking, Mr. Pence?" "The knees of the faithless, Woody." If Pence should be popular anywhere, it's there. And yet he's still getting booed. That's like the Kardashians getting booed on E!
Did you get Kendall a present?
I did.
What did you get?
Something for her lake house.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, I'm aware the Kardashians have been moved from E to Hulu just because most of my references are from the 70s and 80s. Doesn't mean I don't know anything about the Kardashians. I know pop culture better than Radar O'Reilly knows the sound of a helicopter. As Mike Pence has now discovered, the core organizing principle of the GOP right now is its fundamental hostility to democracy. And the movement's central belief is the big lie that the 2020 election was stolen. More than half of Republicans said in a recent poll that they still believe election reviews will change the outcome, like the sham audit in Arizona, where Republicans have been hunting for, among other things, bamboo fibers to prove that ballots were smuggled in from China and secret watermarks left by Trump that separate the real ballots from the fake ones. They think Trump watermarked ballots when, in reality, the only thing he's ever watermarked is a desk. I guarantee Trump has never used a coaster in his life, even though coaster was probably his nickname in high school. "Hey, coaster, is it true you had someone else take your SATs? All that matters is I got into peen." "Do you mean pen? Cicada, cicada." In fact, the Arizona audit has gotten so far off the rails that copies of voting data have been taken to a mysterious location somewhere in rural Montana, all in the name of election integrity. CNN even tried to find the location and sent a reporter to the woods to look for it.
On this piece of property in a remote part of Montana, people may at this very minute be analyzing voting data from the state of Arizona as part of the so-called Arizona audit run by the Cyber Ninjas, a company whose CEO had previously espoused Trump-style election conspiracy theories. What does Montana have to do with all this? Ken Bennett is a spokesman for the audit.
Everything that Cyber Ninjas is doing, they're either doing with their own expertise or the expertise of the people that they're hired.
Cool. Well, thanks to Republican conspiracy theories, we have CNN reporters running around in the woods like they're auditioning for Finding Bigfoot. Also, you trust a company that calls itself Cyber Ninjas to hire people with expertise? It sounds like a game for Super Nintendo you'd find at the bottom of the bargain bin at GameStop in 1994, or Steven Seagal ripoff of RoboCop. You're too late, copper. We already got the jewels from the safe. I'm not a cop. I'm a cyber ninja. Digital nunchucks activate. What do you mean I can't get on the plane? Am I supposed to walk to my dojo? But the story keeps getting weirder. Even the spokesman for the Arizona audit apparently has no idea where the cyber ninjas have taken the voting data.
And a contractor it hired is called Cypher LLC. Bennett says Cypher was permitted to take copies of Arizona voting system data on a truck and have it driven to Montana, where it's being, quote, forensically evaluated in what he described as a secure, powerful laboratory. But nobody is publicly saying what that actually means. And Bennett tells us he doesn't know where the so-called lab is. It is apparently a secret.
Wait, so we're supposed to believe there's a secret, powerful laboratory in rural Montana where experts are doing forensic analysis on ballots. Also, why do I keep saying rural Montana? Montana is fine. There's no urban Montana. You'll never make it on the mean streets of Billings, kid. And look, I love Montana, but I'm having trouble believing there's some secret, powerful laboratory where they're doing forensic analysis hidden in the middle of nowhere unless it was built by Tony Stark. And if that were true, then the only person who'd been able to find it would be Loki. But wait, it's just like Loki to use a sham audit as an excuse to alter the sacred timeline. Oh my God, is this a Nexus event? Have the timekeepers lost control of the variant? Oh God, does this mean there won't be a Wedding Crashers sequel? Jeez, man, relax, it's just a TV show. You're losing the plot, man. The Biden presidency can feel deceptively calm compared to the Trump era, but there's a brewing crisis on the horizon. One of our two major political parties is controlled by an authoritarian faction that is radicalized against democracy. They're still trying to overturn the results of the last election, all while making it easier to overturn the next election. Republicans believe they're the only ones who can legitimately win elections, no matter how many times voters tell them. This has been A Closer Look.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Our guest is a talented writer and comedian whose critically acclaimed one-woman show, Get on Your Knees, is running at the Cherry Lane Theater now. Please welcome back to the show one of our favorites, Jacqueline Novak.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
That you didn't hi, little.
I'm so happy we get to have you at the regular chair and
my
everything.
Chair. This is my, I called it my chair.
Well,
much,
I think
perhaps.
The people who have seen you here before do believe that it's fair for you to call ownership of a chair that you have graced us with before. I want to open with some positivity, which is your show.
Thank you.
has been extended to July 31st.
Yes, and actually, this is the formal announcement. I brought it here.
You did?
Yes.
We're breaking
tonight
news.
Tonight, we're breaking news. It should be live right now online at getonyourkneesshow.com. That is the title of the show, as you're familiar.
This is a, we've talked about, in a way, both the joy and difficulty of discussing the show
yes.
here on network television. This is a philosophical rumination
Beautiful
about
Seth.
Oral sex.
Yes, and specifically the kind related to the cylindrical object.
Yes.
The phallic sort.
I think that's a good way of saying it.
You know, versus the other. That's
right.
been entirely left. I shouldn't say other. I'm really just splitting these binaries.
But
oh, God, it's good to be here. I got to say.
Let me ask a question.
Yes.
Let me make, instead of asking a question, a
yes,
statement.
Yes, please.
I feel as though when I was, when I reached the university level, there were a lot of books where people said,
yes.
oh, if you really read James Joyce or,
yes.
you know, they're actually talking
yes.
about sex in a way that's, you know, for the heady. Amongst
yes,
us.
Yes.
I feel like that's
thank
what you're
you.
Doing every night in a way that's a lot funnier than James Joyce.
Okay, thank you. I'll yeah. take it.
You're a modern Joyce.
Oh, my. Okay.
With plus laughs.
I didn't even know. Thank you. Let me just sit and soak that in for a minute. This is real. I come here to be complimented primarily.
Well, I hope,
and
I hope you're enjoying
I know
it so far.
I'm doing my usual my aggressive lean in, which, you know, might be a bit.
I don't know what to do anymore
much.
Because, see, I used to feel like there was also the pull of the audience. So I was being,
yes.
leaning both ways. And
yes.
now I feel as though you're my North
well,
Star.
I am your North Star, actually. Now, this is going to be good for us. I have so many things to say. I don't even know what to do. I'm excited. I actually think there is something to our audience truly being the audience at home.
Yeah.
Right? Because you know how I feel about television being important.
Yes.
Right? And being on the small screen, that sort of thing, being tiny in their living room. And so it's actually nice to really have it be about you people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
just want to get all the cameras just in case I happen to get it wrong. You know?
The good news is they're a full 30 seconds behind where you point.
That's hysterical.
That's when, just like, and no
that
matter how much
true.
You try to telegraph it.
You're like, I know. No, and shouldn't the light, anyway, I'm just learning the tricks of the trade.
I want to ask about this.
Please.
You have live audiences back wearing masks.
Wearing masks.
I hope I didn't get in trouble with what I'm saying, but your show is, again, it's about oral sex. I have done just a little bit of live performance since things opened up again.
Yeah.
I found audiences to be at the ready. They're
oh,
so
very.
Happy to be out.
Yeah.
I don't want to tie it too close to the theme of your show, but it does feel as though there is a bit of a release for people to be amongst one another laughing again.
Yes. No, I think it's great for me. They seem very happy to be there, which is a good baseline for starting a show. And then I don't mind the masks, really, I
you
have
don't.
To say. I might even institute a policy of keeping them for the rest of my performing life. I mean, I don't know. What it does for me is it takes some of the pressure off of their expressions. And I think maybe some of the pressure they feel to, you know, make me feel safe the whole time.
I think you're right.
You
That's
know, they can just relax.
I haven't thought of that.
They can just stare. They can give me kind of nothing, but still be enjoying it. You know, and like I saw one guy who I thought, I'm like I started clocking. You know, I try to keep it going, stay in the moment, of course.
Yeah.
Stay present. But I'll see someone go, all right, I'm not sure they're really enjoying it. All right, I'll check back in a little while. Have I won them over yet? No. You know, and then I started to go, all right, well, maybe there's just a lot happening down here that I'm not seeing. And I was all right with that.
Well, that's so good for me to hear because I, having seen you on stage, I find you to be an incredibly confident performer who gives off the air of not particularly caring where the audience is at any given moment. But it's nice to hear, and I think all performers need to hear that. You are also sort
full
of clocking,
terror,
yeah,
always.
Clocking the audience constantly.
Yes. Well, I had a problem in the past where in a previous runs where I'd get it in my head that someone either this is one example. This one happened one night. Someone either looked a lot like Larry David. Did I tell you? Have I told you
no,
this?
No.
Looked a lot like Larry David, or could perchance be Larry David. And then I spent the entire show thinking of every bit I did, going, would Larry David think this is funny? And going like,
oh, yeah, that's
I think
not
Larry would find this funny. Yeah, the entire, and I've had it a couple other times, like where I think someone's in there, and on the off chance they are, I feel myself catering. No, but I'm always full of terror.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's that one story of Laurence Olivier or whatever that like he threw up before every performance, you know, till the end. And that's that thing where I'm comforted by that.
Oh, it's so so helpful to hear people tell you the truth about their own terror.
Yes.
Last time you were here in person, you were about to go on tour. How far in your tour did you get before COVID?
Single date.
One show.
Yeah, one show, and I was so prepared. I was carving, you know, the big hard shell suitcases. I had these old ones, and I was ripping out the nylon and putting Velcro up and creating this entire sort of like touring.
Oh wow.
You know, like setup where I could grab all my chargers and all my batteries and just like so much tech, and I was like ready. And then obviously we were at home for a year, and. Which is great too. I was honestly really proud that I had dates on the books to cancel.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was like, look at me. I'm a real operator. I was like, sorry everyone, my shows were of course canceled. And I was like so proud. And then it took me like a couple weeks to be like, oh, it's kind of a bummer that I'm not getting to do these shows right now.
Did it again, this was a show you did a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, like everyone who was performing, you had to take a long break without doing it in front of an audience. Did it come back easy to you? It's a very
dense.
He's a very dense
yeah,
show.
Yeah, it's dense. There's a lot. I mean, the good thing is if you skip something in it, it kind of doesn't matter because I go into everything in such detail that no one thinks something didn't sound like there was enough detail.
Yes.
I'm usually lingering too long on a given idea. But I'm actually aggressively building memory palaces. This is one of these techniques that I get into
wow.
in my, you know, where you lay things out along the journey of your hometown. Oh, I drive down the street and then there's the first joke sitting on,
Have
things
you always
like that.
Done that?
I'm always looking for a new strategy.
Yeah.
So it'll be like the night before opening night and I'm reading the Memory Palace book, like, can it help me now? And then I got some rings, clearly none, but I got some rings that were gonna be visual cues. I was gonna have the entire set list, like 50 rings on my hands, and just be like, oh, people just think like this is my new style.
You're a ring guy for now.
I'm a ring guy, like everything, I'm a ring guy now. A couple of earrings. I was just like, how can I cover my body? So no, it never comes back. It never comes back. I don't know how I've done the show this many times and still feel like I don't know it. Even though it's in me, it's in you, you know, it's in you. Know, that,
did you spend time, I think this was
yeah.
a burden that a lot of performers put on themselves over this time that they had off stage. Can you workshop a show like yours when you don't have an audience to bounce it off?
Well, so I filmed or taped every show that I did, you know, every single night, which is an old habit, stand-up habit.
Yeah.
And with the intention that I would go through every single performance, line them all up in GarageBand. Okay, literally, sorry, I'm part of the Mac suite. I don't know how to apologize for it, despite its hideous chrome. Anyway, its brushed chrome round edges are, like, very embarrassing. Anyway, so I was going to line them all up, chop them all up, and then line, so it would be like joke A gets to be next to joke A, joke A, joke A, and compare every single one. And then I did that for about 2 days. Then forgot I had started that project, and then a year passed. So the answer is no. But what artistically, I think more energy went into merch. I've realized that sort of the evolution of the show is really as a vehicle for merchandise. And I'm slowly working on that. There's T-shirts, there's totes.
Oh, that's exciting.
For traveling.
I've seen the show, but not a, need, nary a tote.
I know. I'll get a tote over here. I'll get a tote sent over. And I'm really just a traveling merch salesman now, I think, is it kind of where it's at. I am going to Boston, by the way. I should get that in. Going to Boston in September to do the show.
Where are you going
to
do it?
The Emerson Colonial.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. Yeah. So you're going to finally be able to use your Velcroed up suitcase.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I, for one, can't wait to see it again.
I can't wait to have you again.
It is truly one of my favorite stage performances from the last 5 years.
That's so
lovely to have you back. Thank you.
Such a pleasure.
Time.
Thank you.
This is Jacqueline Novak. Her show, Get on Your Knees, is at the Cherry Lane Theater through July 31st. She's going to stand up now, and she's going to show you the full dress.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
Be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now!
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.